C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi mare d'are. Figlio mio, cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a olio, io te viene sempre a baccalare dal manerene. Se ci picchia, vanno se a baccalare, figlio mio. Oh, mamma, la la la.
Hey, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And of course, everybody knows that this week is going into next week. And next week, we'll know who will be the El Presidente of the Banana Republic Los Estados Unidos. Excuse me, because that's what it's become, as I see it. You know, we have a dictator-in-chief. They take us to war without Congress voting for it. All these executive orders, the arrogance of them. So, and you look at the election. It's the laughing stock of the world. And we're tuned into the world, and we get feedback from people all over the world. And all over the world, everyone that I speak to or contact, they can't believe what's going on over here, and saying this is the best that America has to offer. And anyway, it's interesting because of the effects it's also having on the equity markets, which is something that we look at very closely. And all you listeners that are subscribers to the Trends Journal and get our trend alerts and trends in the news broadcasts and other information know that we've been quite accurate with our trend forecast regarding the economy. And of course, I'm recognized for having called the 1987 stock market crash, the dot-com bust, the panic of 08. Actually, I took out that domain name in 2007. And we don't get it right all the time, of course, because the game changes. So tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And so when you look at the how we got here and bring it back into economics, there was no such thing as quantitative easing or zero or negative interest rate policies that artificially boost markets. So we get our calls wrong from time to time. Not because of our forecast, because they're changing the game and you can't predict the wild cards. And there's no wilder card than the war against the savers with these near zero interest rate policies in the United States and negative interest rate policies in Japan and the European central banks. So going back to how this election is really changing the way things are like we've never seen before, the equity markets right now, there's this thing called the VIX in the stock markets that measures volatility. It's called the CBOE Volatility Index. And in common language, it's called the Fear Index. And right now, the Fear Index on Wall Street is spiking. And the spike is because the bet was that Hillary Clinton would win the White House. And now, because of the last week, with the continuing email dumps challenging the practices of Hillary Clinton's campaign and the ethics of the Clinton Foundation, plus the FBI announcements to further investigate Clinton's emails from her private server when she was Secretary of State, the odds have changed on Wall Street, man. Woo. So now you saw that volatility index which is, you know, normal around 20, doubling up, spiking at 40. And the implications are in front of us as we see it regarding, of course, the markets. The volatility in the markets are real. And a lot of it has to do with what's going on with the markets, because the markets were betting a Clinton victory. So now the Dow Jones is down 40 points, which isn't a huge drop, but more importantly, gold is spiked. You know, when I was on last week, it was around, 360, 1,260. Now, it's over 1,300 again. And here's why. It's very simple. The market, again, was voting for a Trump victory. Excuse me, a Clinton victory. And now with it up in the air and a possibility of a Trump victory, you're seeing the volatility, because the word on Wall Street is that the Federal Reserve under a Trump administration is less likely to raise interest rates. That's what they're saying. And Trump also has come out, and you know I'm no fan of Trump, but I call things the way they are. What a fraud this whole Fed action is. How they're just pumping up the economy with these cheap rates and building a bubble. He's been saying that in the debates and on the campaign trail. And he's 100% correct. And we said it. We're among the first. And you could go back to our trend alerts going back to 2010, we said this is not a recovery, it's a cover-up. They covered it up with cheap money. So now they're worried about a Donald Trump White House. So that's pushed down the dollar and pushed gold prices higher. And this is big. Go back to Brexit. Remember, if you do, how the media, even the traitor-in-chief, Barack lying Obama, who lied his way into office as the anti-war president and started immediately to build up the Afghan war with a 33,000 troop surge, invaded the sovereign nation of Libya, regime change, and the same thing with Syria. Yeah, that Obama. And again, going back to Brexit, he goes over to the UK to tell the people, folks, if you exit the Brexit and you leave the European Union, you're going to be at the back of the queue. Like they never used that term in the United States, back of the queue, the end of the line, right? So even despite the pressure from the United States, from that other little lowlife over there, the Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, Abenomics, Abe freak, negative interest rates, no growth in Japan, a total failure, and they keep going with it. He goes to the UK. Cameron, the Prime Minister at the time. All the people on Wall Street, the loudest mouths on Wall Street, championing, don't leave the EU. And the people said, they're leaving. And they left, despite the pressure. That's what we're looking at, in essence, with the campaign 2016, as we're into the final days. It's a Brexit situation in the sense that so many people are disgusted with the political elite. And Donald Trump is the pop populist. He's not the real deal populist. But he's effective nonetheless, considering who he's running against. So as we're looking at the volatility index, the unsure race that's in front of us and what will transpire later, you're seeing massive volatility in the stock markets. And again, the thing to watch is the value of the dollar and the price of gold. So the facts are speaking out. We're also seeing the reality. While the markets today are talking about the volatility being attributed to the presidential race, it's much bigger than that. It is a global slowdown. Go back again, and we've been doing this every week on Trends This Week. When we look at oil prices, because oil prices are a clear reflection of energy usage around the world. The more that people are traveling, the more industries that's humming, the more cars that are being driven, the more energy being used. And conversely, the less people fly, drive, and the less industry is humming, the less energy is being used. So we kept hearing that they were going to come out with an agreement of OPEC and non-OPEC members to limit the amount of oil being put on the market each day. Currently, there's an excess of about between 1.5 to 2 million barrels of excess oil that's being produced. And again, it's important to understand that production is way down in a number of countries, way up in others, like the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Russia, but down in Venezuela, down in Nigeria, Libya, Iraq, not a fraction in Libya and Iraq what it used to be. So even with that decrease, there's still a 2 million barrel a day, 1 million 0.5 barrel a day excess. So the big news was that they were going to cut back oil production by about 700,000 barrels a day. And that drove up the price of oil to over $50 a barrel. And remember, we saw this year oil and last year, you know, hitting around, you know, below the $30 mark. And now it's backed off again from its highs. Today, oil is down. Yesterday, it was down over 3%. Today, it's down over 3% again. So U.S. crude now is back to $45 a barrel. I'm mentioning this because of the volatility index and how they're attributing it to the elections. The elections will not have an effect on what oil prices are doing as I'm speaking. It's bigger than that. The reality is, there's a news report that came out, but it never made the mainstream news. Hey, how about those Kardashians, huh? Wonder what Justin Bieber is doing today. Boy, I haven't heard about Paris Hilton lately. Hope she's okay. So, what's not making the news is big news. And it ties in back to the economy. And that is global trade, and it ties back into oil, is slumping. There's a report that comes out from the Netherlands, and they're the best, one of the best sources of it, because, for example, Maersk, the huge shipping giant, they're based right there in Denmark, not far away. And they're very attuned, these companies and these nations, to global trade. So they came out with a report, and they showed that volume, global trade volume, in the first quarter of 2016, flat. In the second quarter, it's down nearly 1%. Now, let's go back to the United States. This is the world's largest economy. You ready for this? Total imports and exports fell last year $200 billion. And so far this year, for the first 9 months, imports and export trade is down an additional $470 billion. So when the trader-in-chief Obama, with his arrogant lines and talking down to people like myself and others who challenge his fraud, at the State of the Union address says that anyone saying that the American economy is not strong as peddling fiction, well, he should know about peddling fiction because that's all he's ever sold. And all you little liberals out there keep buying his baloney without calling him out on his lies and his arrogance. The president has had us in war his entire administration. Peace. Nobel Peace Prize winner. The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner. Peddling fiction. Saying the economy stinks. That's why a narcissistic, very shallow thinking person like Donald Trump has such wide support, because of the disgust from the political elite, such as Obama, the Clintons, the Bushes, and others. So no, there's no strong recovery in America. Our GDP growth this year is a bit over 1%. Again, we're looking at total value of imports and exports for the first 9 months of this year, down $470 billion. And that never made the news. So what does this mean? It means that, number one, there's no recovery, and number two, all the central bank gimmicks, the schemes of negative and zero interest rate policy, of tens of trillions of dollars of quantitative easing, bank bailouts, and bailouts to their buddies, buying trillions of dollars of government and corporate bonds, has not produced global growth or domestic growth. What it's done is enriched the 1%. And again, the facts speak for themselves. Since 2009, when the trader-in-chief Obama took office, promised to bring those banks to justice and did absolutely nothing. 95% of the wealth has gone to the 1%. Those are facts. There's been no economic recovery. So now, even the white shoe boys on Wall Street are admitting that central bank policies are basically a failure, and they've run out of new schemes undreamed of. To generate growth. So what will they do next? You have negative interest rate policies in Europe and Japan, near zero interest rate policies in America, with the talk that they may raise them a measly 25 basis points in December, which will be only the second rate rise in 11 years. And again, the frauds, the Federal Reserve frauds, and all those little prostitutes and these arrogant economic analysts never call them out for their outright lies and deceit. Go back a year ago, nearly, last December, when they raised interest rates 25 basis points. They told us throughout the year that they would be raising them four more times in 2016. And they haven't raised them once. But what does that do? It portends that the dollar will gain in strength as interest rates go higher. That drives down gold prices. They want to drive down gold prices because gold prices are the canary in the economic mine that shows there's poison in the air. And they don't want that canary to be saying or chirping anything. So they lie and say they're going to raise rates, and they don't. But that pushes down the price of gold. Because the fiat currencies are not worth the digital paper they're not printed on. So that's where we stand with the economy. So there's a general consensus now that despite record low rates and massive central bank quantitative easing policies having failed to generate global economic growth, and the reality now even among, quote, the economists, that they've run out of schemes, central banks, to juice growth. The fear factor that I began with talking about, the volatility index, the VIX, that's on fire right now, being attributed to the elections? Well, possibly yes at this point. But look for continuation of high volatility and a continuing fear factor, fear index. Because there's going to be more economic turmoil. Now take the economic turmoil and add that on top of the geopolitical turmoil. Look at the war. Hey, remember Obama promised not to put any boots on the ground in Iraq? And now they're bragging about the great strike in Mosul, Iraq. Yep, the hypocrites. City of 1.5 million people. Being held hostage by ISIS. When the United States and its allies of the Coalition of the Killing go in bombing it, and slaughtering tens of thousands in the process, or thousands, don't want to exaggerate. It's called the humanitarian mission. But when the Russians try to get, and the Syrians try to get ISIS out of Aleppo, oh, it's all the front page news in the toilet paper record, that disgusting rag, the New York Times, the propaganda sheet for the neocons. Oh, yeah, look at the slaughter going on in Aleppo. Hey, but when America does it, it's all right. Hey, yeah, we're the exceptionals. The exceptional mass murderers across the globe. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Yemen. Oh, Yemen, nobody talks about Yemen. What's a Yemen? Well, these little poor people that are being slaughtered by the United States, who supplying, Obama supplied $115 billion worth of armaments to the beheaders-in-chief, the Saudis, to slaughter people in the Middle East. And nothing barely makes the news. But boy, something happens when in Aleppo with the Russians. Oh, it's front page. Hey, the Saudis just killed 27 people on Friday in Yemen, innocent people, 150 the week before, 60 on Sunday. Innocent people bombing places where they're congregating. Doesn't make the news. There is no fourth estate left in America. The fourth estate was the media to look, watch over the executive branch, congressional, and judicial. It's gone. That's why a lot of people subscribe to the Trends Journal to hear our Trends in the News broadcasts and to get our trend alerts. Because we're still the real media. We're the truth in trends. Go back 2 weeks. Massive, massive layoffs throughout the newspaper industry. Whose ad revenue, by the way, is now nearly 9% in the last quarter. New York Times. Wall Street Journal, Gannett News Service, people that have been with these companies 30 years, gone, ordered to go to clean out their desk, brought into executive meetings. Tell them they're fired, and after being there all those years, clean out your desk. Exit, stage right. There's no media anymore, and people aren't reading. And I've been reading newspapers, a picture of me in college, sitting in the bathtub reading. Reading newspapers is very different than getting it online. The layout for one thing, you see what's prioritized. It's a whole different experience, and that experience is being taken away. And it's harder and harder to find valuable information, and it's very essential in trend forecasting. Current events form future trends. So with no street feet on the beat anymore, and all aggregated news, you're getting the same news in newspapers throughout the country. It's very hard to find those current events forming future trends, making our job much harder. The upside is we have more sources to go through, so it takes a lot more time to find more information. But you're not getting that in-depth reporting, regardless, that you used to get. It's all whitewashed news. So when we're looking at the economy, we're looking at the elections, we're looking at news, and we're looking at geopolitical events, we can see where the future is heading and how that fear index is going to rise, not only in the equity markets, but also geopolitically and politically. On the geopolitics, what's going on? Take a look at Turkey. They invaded both Iraq and Syria. Erdogan, their president, this guy's still talking about the Ottoman Empire and how these places used to belong to them. Hey, why not? You know, God said that there was Israel owns Palestine. Why can't this guy say the Ottoman Empire still owns Iraq and Syria? So they're invading these two countries. Remember, this is an invasion. And this doesn't make the news as in the context of what it really is. So on Monday, the United States announced that people, American citizens in the consulate over there in Turkey, should leave in Istanbul. That was the warning. U.S. tells relatives of consulate staff to leave Turkey. The department said in a statement that the decision was based on security information, indicating extremist groups are continuing aggressive efforts to attack U.S. citizens in areas of Istanbul where they reside or frequent. Well, that's what they said in the press release. But then just 2 days later, Erdogan raids newspapers known for their independence. And since he's declared a state of emergency some 3 months ago following the coup, more than 100 journalists have been detained and arrested. 150 media outlets have been shut down. Some 2,500 journalists have lost their jobs since the coup attempt. So, you could see the United States knew what was going on. This thing is heating up over there. I'm saying to worry about geopolitics because it's real. The Turkey crackdown is just one part of it. You look at what's going on with the migrant crisis, the amount of people that have drowned out at sea is reaching new highs. Look what's going on in Afghanistan. Once again, the longest war in American history. And just keeps going on. The Taliban keep taking more and more land. Again, go back to what the Saudis are doing in Yemen. Yeah. 27 killed in Saudi airstrike against Yemen villages. 60 killed in new U.S.-Saudi war crime in Yemen. UN warns U.S.-Saudi war threatens mass starvation in Yemen. More than 10,000 people have been killed since the Saudi regime began its attack. which they did, by the way. They announced it from Washington, D.C. in March of 2015, that they were going to invade Yemen. That did nothing to them. UN Children Agency, UNICEF, says that at least 370,000 children are at risk in Yemen of severe malnutrition, and without urgent treatment will die. Fully 1.5 million children are malnourished. Hey, all you liberals, don't you love Obama? Huh? Giving them the weapons for this? Where's your outrage, you courageless little people with big mouths and no guts? The United States is an accomplice to the crime, and your commander-in-chief is the salesman that gave them the weapons for this mass slaughter going on. Oh, but let's talk about the Russians. Let's really do some more McCarthyism that the Clinton administration's really got down tight, because every time a WikiLeaks comes out and shows the immorality of her campaign and the unethical behavior of the Clinton Foundation, and the Russians are doing it to support Donald Trump. And it diverts the topic. Cowards. Liberal coward liars. You are accomplices to the crime by supporting your candidates who are committing these murders. Take it to your deathbed. The threat of mass starvation is compounded by a rapidly spreading cholera epidemic. Isn't that something? Yep. The School of Economics, London School of Economics, documented 357 bombing targets in the country's 20 provinces, including farms, animals, water infrastructure, food stores, agricultural banks, markets, and food trucks. Their conclusion, the Saudis are deliberately striking at agricultural infrastructure in order to destroy the civil society, end quote. That's from, again, the London School of Economics. And to make it worse, before the war, Yemen used to import 90% of its food. But the Saudi-led coalition of the killing that's backed by the U.S. Navy has imposed a sea blockade. So it's choking off supplies of food to this impoverished nation that's not worthy of making the news. You know, it's Samantha Powers, that phony humanitarian who's our United States ambassador. She was one of the leading proponents within the Obama administration for the U.S. to support the war in Yemen. And, of course, she's also a huge supporter of the Saudi regime, which, by the way, on Friday, the United Nations re-elected to the Human Rights Council, and they threw Russia off. The Saudis are on the UN Human Rights Council. What a joke, UN. Unimportant or unpeaceful. Yep. That's right, you liberals. The U.S. has poured over $115 billion of weapons to the beheaders in chief, those Saudis, since Obama took office. Isn't this something, huh? U.S. values, eh? The exceptionals. So when we're looking at the economy, we have to look at geopolitics. This is ready to explode because, by the way, there's another side of this. Wars don't run for free. And the Saudis are ripping through dough really fast. And now they're starting to cut back on benefits, wages, pensions in their own economy. And rumblings are getting louder of discontent. So let's put the globalnomic picture together, because that's what we do, globalnomics, with oil selling at $45 a barrel and Saudis needing oil at $100 a barrel for their government to break even. You think they got some problems? You think there's going to be unrest? And again, look what's going on with the United States and NATO, moving troops and weapons and missiles on the Russian border. Boy, the toilet paper of record, the New York Times, did they do a beautiful propaganda piece yesterday? Yeah, about Estonia. Yep, and how they were gearing up over there to fight the Russians. And putting together this civil defense force to protect themselves in the event of a Russian attack. A half-page picture. Remember, not a peep about Yemen in the toilet paper of record. These arrogant, lying little people who took us to war, you remember, with those aluminum tubes and yellow cakes that Osama, what's the difference? Greenberg, Iceberg, Obama, Hussein, Saddam Hussein, Obama Hussein, Saddam Hussein, all insane. When the New York Times said that Saddam Hussein was going to build weapons of mass destruction because he got them aluminum tubes and yellow cakes he needed. Those lying New York Timers, right? Half-page picture yesterday. Again, not a peep about Yemen. Weary of Russia's ambitions, Estonia prepares a nation of insurgents. Whoa. And how all these people are dressed up here, and they got this little boy over there tied up like a little clown. And they got these little ropes, and they're looking at maps. Four-member teams of Estonians Defense League complete 21 tests in 24 hours as part of their military training. We just have to stay alive, one Estonian trainee said. The Estonian Defense League, which organizes the events, requires 25,400 volunteers to turn out for weekend training sessions that have taken on a serious hue. You ready? Since Russia's incursions in Ukraine 2 years ago raised fears of a similar thrust by Moscow into the Baltic states. The United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine. Go back to 2013. When Victoria Nuland, our Assistant Secretary of State, at the National Press Club in Washington said you just came back from Ukraine. The future of Ukraine is with Europe, and they should follow the path set forth by the IMF, and that Ukrainians are Europeans and not Russians, which is news again, I'm sure, to most Eastern Europe Ukrainians, and particularly since Crimea, for example, was part of Russia since 1783 and only given back under Khrushchev back in the 1950s, but was still part of the Soviet Union and given back to Ukraine. But that's the propaganda. Russia didn't invade anybody. Russia's been in Crimea since 1783. And they've had a seaport there. So they didn't invade. The stupidity of all of this is that Estonia is a NATO member. And again, under the agreement set forth under Reagan and George Bush Sr., that they would dissolve the Soviet Union, they would give back Eastern Germany to Germany, and NATO would expand no further than it was. Well, now they're in Estonia and other Baltic nations. Bill Clinton broke the agreement. Slick Willie did. And what's his name over there? Little Georgie Bush and Obama broke it again. So rather than NATO not expanding, now not only are they on Russia's doorstep, they're doing series of war games with 40,000 plus troops at the Russian border. Now, when I say the stupidity of the Estonians who are in charge and these people part of it, we're looking at a country here of 1.3 million people. And a standing army of 6,000. They're going to beat Russia? They're going to stop Russia? This is just propaganda. It's just to get the people incited. It'll mean absolutely nothing. I mean, we're looking, Russia, a population of about 145 million people, fighting a country of 1.3 million. But that's how propaganda works, and that's how people die for useless causes. And talking about useless causes, by the way, paisano of mine, not proud to be one of them, Mussolini, he knew the Italians were no match during World War II. Yet he took the people to war. Very interesting, by the way. Remember Hillary Clinton was challenged that she made a speech saying that she was in favor of globalization, open borders, and open trade, and more globalization that would make us stronger. Remember that? And then she avoided the question by saying, well, it was nothing. It was a Russian. The Russians did it. The Russians tapped into our emails. And Donald Trump's a puppet of Putin, never answering the question. And we've seen subsequent and previous statements made by her that she's all in favor of more globalization, open borders, open trade, and in fact, bigger government. And what is Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan? Stronger together. The symbol of fascism under Mussolini, the fasces of unity, national and social unity, was symbolized why they had these bound sticks being individuals, bound sticks being, quote, stronger together than individuality. And that's what's going on now. It's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. Too big to fail. Bailouts, loan guarantees and tax breaks. It's called the merger of state and corporate powers, which is fascism. The symbol of fascism is a bundle of sticks bound together, the bound sticks being stronger together than individually. And the Italians under Mussolini were called to pull together in a unity because he declared that the state did not weaken the individual. So this was part of the explicit rejection of individualism. And that's what we have now. Hey, you better be politically correct. You better be on board. Don't be an individual. We're stronger together. And fascism was not a party, but a way of life. And that's what they're teaching us now, and that's what they're teaching the kids. A way of life. Follow the rules. We'll give you the orders. We know what's best for you. So the corporatist state is presented as a unifying form of politics, as opposed to a liberal democracy. Fascism and the state were identified, and everything was to be encompassed in the state. Yeah, like stronger together. That's all it is. Nothing has changed. Fascism is a bundle of sticks. And you have to tie them together because individualism makes the nation weak and collectivism makes it strong. And they become strong when they're bundled together. And that's what we have. So, we're closing down into the presidential reality show. Stronger together. May become our new way of life. On steroids beyond where it is now. The wars are heating up in Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq. Afghanistan is in total turmoil, despite Obama's troop surge and the trillions spent and the tens of thousands of lives or millions of lives lost. The soldiers of America that died in a useless cause continues to escalate. Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Congo, Nigeria. Hot spots are getting hotter. The volatility index is beyond the stock markets. It's global. Next week, the face of America will change. And to me, both of them, the face of both faccia brutte, madonna me. If Clinton wins, there'll be a revolution against her, particularly with Trump making the point that the investigations will go on throughout her time in office. And he's right. If Trump gets in, it's the presidential reality show. Think about it. A reality show champion becoming the president of the United States. It's show business for ugly people. Thanks for tuning in. This is Gerald Celente. Trends this week. Remember, one person of courage makes a majority. Tag, you're it. Figgi mia cutterare, mamma mia pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avisci a olo, i te viene sempre baccalare dal manerene. Se ci picchia, bandi se baccalare, figgi mia. Oh,